Anything but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We're grateful to have with us in studio today Pastor Jessie Gilmore as well, and she'll be sharing a little later. But as we start off, we invite you to look with us as we start off in the book of Exodus, chapter 20. A familiar passage where you find the Ten Commandments. Exodus chapter 20, beginning at verse 1. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Six days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son nor your daughter, nor your male servant nor your female servant, nor your cattle nor your stranger who's within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the sea, the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the fact that your word guides us, directs us, empowers us, strengthens us, counsels us, and does so many more things in our lives as we take time to read and meditate on your word each and every day. Lord, help us more and more with every passing day to grow in our understanding of the great need for us to be students of your word, individuals that read and meditate on your word every single day and thus receive counsel straight from your mind and your heart that will guide us, that will empower us, that will help us to be successful in life. And Lord, help us to recognize that your word is not just a nice book to pull sermons or Sunday school lessons out, but it's a guidebook for life, a power book for life that helps us to live a life full of grace, full of your anointing, and full of your goodness. We thank you and praise you. Help us more and more to fall in love with your word with every passing day. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Again, I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. And as we start off, I want to remind you once again, we do have coming up in just a few weeks our fall share-a-thon. And if you haven't called in and shared a listener testimony, we hope you'll still take time to do that. If you would, give us a call at this number, 1-877-327-5647. What would really help us is if we could hear from you and you could share how the Lord has used Urban Family to help you, to strengthen you, to build you up in your walk with the Lord. Urban Family is a discipleship tool in the hands of the Holy Spirit. Our goal is to help you to come to know the Lord and help you to grow up in your faith and become a strong and vibrant follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. So if the Lord has used this ministry thus far to do that in your life, please give us a call and just share your testimony. That testimony would bless us tremendously. And again, you just may hear it during our upcoming share-a-thon. That number once again is 1-877-327-5647. Again, that's 1-877-327-5647. Let me remind you also, too, of course, we appreciate you listening from wherever you listen, whether it's with one of our land stations, but also keep in mind, we do have some free mobile apps for phone and Android devices. All you have to do is go to the App Store and search for Urban Family Talk. And that way, if you get the app, you can listen to Urban Family anywhere you go, whether you go to New York or Los Angeles or China. Wherever you are, you'll be able to listen to Urban Family. So you want to take it with you wherever you go. So hope you'll download the free app. And then once again, we want to remind our listeners on the Cherubin, if you're listening in the Cherubin, if you're not familiar with how to go to the Cherubin, simply go to our website, www.urbanfamilytalk.com. And then in the top left side of the page, go click on menu, then follow, go to click on radio programs, and then scroll down to the Hour of Intercession. Once you're on the Hour of Intercession page, scroll down a little bit till you see the word podcast, and right next to podcast, you'll see the Cherubin. Click on the Cherubin, and you'll see the Cherubin box, and within the top corner, and you'll find the arrow. Click on the arrow, and then you can log in as a guest or on your Facebook account. We'd invite you to be a part of our listening family. And, of course, we're grateful to have all of our listeners on Afrika TV. It's always good to have them listening and watching. Thanks again for listening. Today, we're grateful to have in studio with us Pastor Jesse Gilmore. She's the pastor of Emmanuel Gospel of Grace Church Fellowship in Verona, Mississippi. Welcome, Pastor Gilmore.
Thank you. God bless you. Good to be here.
Good to have you with us. It's been I think it's been almost 2 years since you've been with us. It's been a while.
It has.
Good to have you with us again,
too. Good to be back.
As we start off, Pastor Gilmore, would you just take time to reintroduce yourself? Again, you've been here. It's been a little while, but tell our listeners a little bit about you and the work God has called you to.
I am Jesse Gilmore. Our church is located at 5307 South Raymond in Verona, Mississippi, in what is commonly known as the Trailer Park area. It is great outreach ministry where the Lord has called us to serve, and we have been there almost 15 years now. Mm-hmm. The work is great and the reward are great. Ministering to the people's needs, especially the spiritual need, is the greatest work that I think one can be called upon to do. And we are blessed to be able to be in that era to do it.
Amen. Amen. And I would mention that I had the privilege of meeting you about 2 or 3 years ago. And, you know, I think of this, and one of the reasons why it's such an honor and a privilege to know you and work with you ministry-wise is that your heart is obviously, you obviously have a big heart for the Lord and big heart for people in your community. And you basically kind of invited and allowed us to work with you with an outreach in the local public schools. And, of course, now, at least you used to, are you still a city alderman as well?
I am still a city alderman. Retired from the school for good this time, though.
Okay. Okay. We'll see. We'll see. So, but, of course, you're in ministry. You worked in the public schools. You work in city government. And so very much been an apostle of sorts to your community. So why would you say it's been important? How would you say the Lord has used those different positions he allowed you to serve in to be his vessel?
I think that every era of service is just that. It's a service position. Mm-hmm. You're called to serve. And any platform or entity or avenue that God give you in order to meet the needs of the people, to serve the people, I think as a Christian, as believers, we take advantage and take those opportunities to serve God's people in one era or the other.
That's right.
One era or the other. And people have so many needs. Number one, I believe that mankind's greatest need is a relationship with the Lord. I believe, and this is just what I believe about the problems we face in our community, in our cities, whether it be government, whether it be our country, I believe our problem is, I don't believe we have but one. Basically, I believe our problem is sin.
Right.
I believe that. Mm-hmm. And I believe that we as Christians have the answer, have the solutions to that problem, and it is Jesus Christ.
That's right. That's right. You know, that makes me think of Frederick Douglass. He felt his approach to government was very simple, and it was summed up in one verse from the book of Proverbs. His summary of government was, righteousness exalts a nation,
exactly,
but sin is a reproach to any people. And that's, in essence, what you're saying. Really.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And so whatever era I'm called on to be a part of, I believe that I'm called to serve.
Right.
I believe that that's my one-liner. I'm called to serve. Let me just say, Pastor Parker, if I would, I appreciate you reading of the scripture as you read from the Lord, God's word from the book of Exodus, the mm-hmm. Ten Commandments, because it reminds me of what I believe the Lord is saying as it relates to all the things that's going on in our country and our communities. Mm-hmm. And I just want to remind our listeners, and as I remind myself daily and our family and our church families, that regardless of how many laws are added, how many more are written, mm-hmm. how they are interpreted, how they are tweaked, the laws are already there. God has written his laws, and they will not change.
That's right.
Can't change them. They won't change. So,
You know, Pastor Gilmore, you know, one, I utilize the Ten Commandments a good bit in ministry, both here on the Hour of Intercession and also pastorally too, in that because, you know, just like you said, they don't change. And they've always been relevant. They always will be.
Yes.
And even though sometimes you have those that might would want to say, well, the Bible's an old-fashioned book, and it was written a long time ago in a different part of the world, different culture. But still, it's just as valid today as it ever has been. And when you hear and obey it, it blesses your life, your family, your community. And when you violate the Word of God, it brings trouble to life in every realm because we violate it. You know, I think of this too, and I want to ask your opinion on this as well. You know, the church, the Great Commission is that we're to go into all the world and make disciples. You find that there are many believers that much of their life, their life as a disciple consists of going to church on Sundays, which of course is very important, very good, and living their life and then going to church the next Sunday and one Sunday after the other. And basically going to church for them is largely much of what in their mind is being a disciple. But the reality is we're called to go in the world and be salt and light in a world that desperately needs to hear the gospel. I want to ask your thoughts about this. Why, in what way do you feel like the church maybe needs help when it comes to really getting out into the world?
I believe we as a church and we as pastors, as ministers, have strayed somewhat from what God intended us to be and to do. A disciple is a learner, a follower, and that is to be a learner and a follower of Christ. That's we were to teach and encourage and live so that people can become and will become followers and learners of Christ. And if we do not obey that and follow that correctly, we will have those of us in the body of Christ that's doing just what you said we will do. We will come to church. And that becomes the highlight of our Christian life. Mm-hmm. We need to be in church, but we also need to be disciples. And as leaders, as pastors, we need to make sure we make disciples. I believe one of the things that clouded our vision as to what we're supposed to do is that you make disciples one at a time. Mm-hmm. And we got confused with building churches. Mm-hmm. And so God did not call us to build churches. He didn't say, go ye therefore into all the world and build churches. Nothing wrong with building churches, mega churches, beautiful Ephesus, that's great. But what he called us to do was to make disciples. So that's we took our eyes, if you take your eyes off making disciples, seeing people saved, seeing people's lives change because they are following Christ, and you get your eyes on building the church and you'll spend all your time, all of your energies towards building the church. And then, of course, you got to maintain the church. So then your focus become, let's just stay in church and keep everybody in church, but nobody is following Christ. And I think that's one of the areas in which we missed it.
Amen. Amen. I tell you, I'm going to take a moment to pray before we go into break, but I want to pick up on the other side there because what you just pointed out is a huge issue for the Church of Jesus Christ to deal with today. Father, we thank you for Pastor Gilmore. Thank you for the privilege of being able to address issues like this today. Lord, more and more, open the eyes of us, the pastors you've called to serve churches and the leaders in the body of Christ, and more, open the eyes of all of us as believers to recognize that we're called by you to make disciples. Help us to understand what that really, really means. Mm-hmm. And help us, Lord, to be willing to admit where we've fallen short, because in so many ways, we have and still, to this moment, fall short in so, so many ways. Open our eyes and our hearts to be wide open to learning how to repent where we've fallen short, and to decide that we're going to get up and begin to be the salt and the light that you've called us to be, believers that are going out into the community, boldly proclaiming the gospel, and then once people get saved, teaching them how to grow up in their faith. We're discipling our children, discipling our grandchildren, and discipling coworkers on the job and people out in the community. We're starting Bible studies, outreaches all over the place. Help us to know what it means to be those that make disciples. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Pastor Jesse Gilmore. We'll be right back after this break.
How would you describe your health care? If you're like most Americans these days, the word affordable isn't top of mind. Well, here's some good news. There's actually a trusted healthcare option that is affordable. It's called MediShare. Unlike insurance, MediShare is Christian healthcare sharing, a community of more than 200,000 believers across America who share each other's medical expenses. It's about half the cost of insurance, and it's fully acceptable under the law. And here's the best part. Because MediShare is based on biblical principles, you never pay for things that go against your beliefs. MediShare is affordable healthcare for Christians.
Learn how thousands of Christians can help you save on your healthcare. For your free information guide, call 855-PSALM-23. Not available in Montana. MediShare, affordable biblical healthcare. Call 855-PSALM-23. That's 855-PSALM-23.
This is probably the oldest question there is concerning the things of God. Is it okay to ask God questions? If we look at when the angel of the Lord visited Zechariah about he and Elizabeth, he questioned God and it didn't work out too good. The angel of the Lord visited Mary. She questioned God and he gave her an explanation. So what was the difference? Have you ever heard the phrase, when you know better, you do better? I think that that was what was happening with Zechariah. He and Elizabeth weren't young and naive like Mary. They had been around for a minute and they should have known better. God takes not only our actions into account, but our motives too. It's our attitude or the state of our hearts that makes the difference. Don't believe me? Take inventory then. If the Lord were to visit you right now with surprising off-the-wall news, what would your reaction be? If your reaction isn't what it should be, then ask the Lord for help. With a heart for the urban family, I'm today's urban woman, Toni Johnson. Connect with us at urbanfamilytalk.com.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
I know
that I go everywhere.
listening to the music of Anthony Brown and the ministry Group Therapy. Interesting ministry name. Everyday Jesus. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Our in-studio guest is Pastor Jesse Gilmore. And Pastor Gilmore, as we start this next segment, I'm going to ask you to respond to this. You know, we started out the broadcast reading the Ten Commandments. And, of course, you know, one of the truths I like to remind all of us as believers, as leaders and believers, period, is it's a wonderful tool to get lots of use out of right now, today, in our lives, for every one of us, because the Ten Commandments cover every area of life, in either direct statement or in principle. It covers everything.
Yes.
And it helps us to know the heart and the mind of God. It helps us to understand what justice looks like, what righteousness looks like, what the heart of God looks like, and what it means to love people. That it covers all those things and a whole lot more. So I'm going to take about what we're going to pray the Ten Commandments. Then I want to ask you to comment on how, from your perspective as a pastor, we can take the truths of the Ten Commandments out into the world. Father, thank you for today. Thank you for the opportunity for us to hear your word each and every day. Help us today, Lord, to put you first. Help us, Lord, to make no graven images. Help us, Lord, to not take your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us, Lord, to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us, Lord, to not steal. Help us, Lord, to not commit adultery. Help us, Lord, to tell the truth. Help us, Lord, to not kill. Help us, Lord, to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And again, Pastor Gilmore, you know, you find the Ten Commandments in their entirety in Exodus 20, as we read, but also in Deuteronomy chapter 5. But the principles of the Ten Commandments you find from Genesis to Revelation, you know, too. So what, from your perspective as a pastor, what are some ways we can take the truths found within the Ten Commandments out into the world?
I'm reminded of what Jesus said when he talked about the commandments, and he said to the followers of his that they are wrapped up in these two: love the Lord God with all of your heart, all of your mind, and all of your soul, and to love your neighbor as yourself. I believe when we demonstrate that love in our lives, that God, I love you, I honor you, I reverence you, and we do that through obedience.
Mm-hmm.
And then we love our neighbor as we love ourselves. We're not going, if I love my neighbor like I love myself, we're not going to be stealing from our neighbor.
That's right.
I believe when we practice those principles, share those principles, and show those principles in the way that we live, mm-hmm. then that's how the world will see. The scripture says, how will they know that you are my disciples? But by your showing of your love for one another. So when you show love to God by obeying God. Often I hear people say, I love the Lord.
Mm-hmm.
And my mind automatically say, do you obey the Lord?
That's right.
Because he says, he that loveth me keeps my commandments.
Baby. That's right.
And so that's how I think we can take them to the world. Obeying mm-hmm. God. And I believe you serve God by serving man.
Mm-hmm.
You love God by showing love to man.
That's
how we can penetrate the world with those truths and those biblical commandments of mm-hmm. God.
And, you know, just in connection to that, too, I think of this. One of the ways where we as the church and members of the church start the vital work of discipleship, start in your own home.
Yes.
You know, we as parents, we should teach our own children to be students of the word, teach and train them. And I like to regularly encourage parents to start if they're not doing it already, start the habit of having your kids come into the living room, the kitchen, sit down and read three chapters out loud. Now, you know, Pastor Gilmer, I want you to tell me your thoughts about this. Sometimes parents will say, well, that's too much to make your child read. And that's so sad to me, because you can read your average three chapters in, 12, 15 minutes. But children can play video games for 2 and 3 hours sometimes and watch garbage on TV for hours and hours and waste time on the internet doing nothing. And it's like, parents, when it comes to spiritual things, it's like they can't handle that. That's the attitude some parents have. What are your thoughts on that?
I say to my children and my grandchildren and to all children, start them with the Bible. Start them with the book. Mm-hmm. Start them with the Bible. If a child, if a person can read the Bible, they can read any other book.
That's right. That is so true.
And it will make an impact in their lives. the word by itself, the word read, mm-hmm. has enough power in it to penetrate a heart and a mind. And so I believe we need to start early, and I believe we need to constantly remind them to do that, and not just to read it, but to memorize Scripture.
That's right.
I was shared this brief testimony. I have shared a blessing with my children and my grandchildren every day, every time they're in the house, every time they're out of the house. Mm-hmm. And I have one granddaughter that's this her first year in college.
Mm-hmm.
And she called me the other day and blessed my heart, mm-hmm. because that I have said to her, before she got off the phone, she repeated it back to me.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, Lord, I didn't, you know, they're going about their business. Mm-hmm. But when they're leaving the house, I say, may the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May mm-hmm. he enlighten his countenance over mm-hmm. you. May he be gracious unto you and give you his peace.
Mm-hmm.
And I say that constantly. I say it when I know they're listening, when I know they're not, but when they're entering, when they're leaving out, this is what I say over them regularly. And for her to call me and to repeat it back to me, I said, thank you, Lord.
Just
the word of God
heart.
By itself.
Amen.
Bless my heart.
Amen. And, you know, that makes a powerful point, too, that a part of making disciples is, again, we teach our children, we teach others, we encourage others to get into the word of God every day. And we teach and encourage others to start that habit of reading God's word every day, because that's one of the most basic ingredients of discipleship. Teach, once a person gets saved, teach them, become a student of the Word of God. Start that spiritual habit of reading God's Word every single day. Any believer that doesn't read the Word of God every day is missing out on so much blessing, because the Bible literally is like a bottle of grace, and it's as if God wants to ask the question every day, how much do you want? The more we read, the more God's grace pours into our hearts, our lives. It blesses every part of life. So if we read it and obey it, it means everything to our lives.
It really does. It is our strength. It gives us strength. It gives us hope. It gives us peace.
Mm-hmm.
It gives us joy.
Mm-hmm.
And most importantly, the Word of God convicts us of our sins. It helps us
right.
to see ourselves. Then it helps us to see Jesus.
Mm-hmm. And it points us to Christ. And you know, I recall there's a recording artist by the name of Kim Hill who came here once and shared in devotion. And she shared that her mother got saved by reading the Gospel of John. Well, of course, if a person just begins to read the Word of God and allows it to really work on them, it's going to point them to Jesus.
Yeah.
It's going to point them to salvation, because, again, that's what the Word of God is Jesus. And so the more we read it, the more we take in the essence of who Jesus Christ is. So it's going to bless us. It's going to allow the grace of God and the Spirit of God to work on us more and more, and we need that.
We need that. Let me say, while I have a moment, why I enjoy and appreciate American Family Radio Hour of Intercessory Prayer.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate it so much because I'm mindful of the scripture that says, the disciples said when they were following Jesus during the early church, during the first church, they said, "You attend to these things.
Mm-hmm.
Let us give ourselves to prayer and the word."
That's right.
And so I encourage pastors and ministers and Christians to give ourselves to prayer and the word, to not become so focused and so busy.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to say
that's
that
right.
to me, becoming so busy or becoming getting off track, so that we do not give ourselves constantly to prayer and the word.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe that is where the Lord is going to bring us back to. Making first things first.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe the church and the body of Christ have gotten off focus as it relates to that consistent prayer and the word.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, one of the reasons why the Lord has put on my heart, and this is truth, one of the reasons why it's so important for us to emphasize spiritual habits is because in life, things that are important to us, we form habits around them. And so when you have believers that, just for example, it's very normal and obviously for obvious reasons, that if a person has a job, they have the habit of getting up and going to work. Well, some may say, that's not a habit. Not only is it a habit, you better have it if you want to keep your job, you know, consistently living it out. Well, there's some that are consistent when it comes to natural things, but when it comes to spiritual things, haphazard.
Mm.
Read it when it's raining outside, they don't have anything else to do, or when they're bored. Well, that's not smart. If it's important, You need to form a habit around it where you do it every single day consistently. You know, John Wesley, the great servant of the Lord,
yes,
he used a word called means of grace. And I like his word because that's exactly what it is. These are tools that we can use that cause the grace of God to pour into our lives in greater measure. Can't earn grace,
yes,
but you can certainly do things that cause the grace of God to pour into our lives in greater measure. Prayer is one of those things. Reading the Bible is one of those things. Worship and praise, obedience, all of these are means of grace. They're spiritual habits. And living them and teaching them is important for us as believers too.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're talking about reading the Word. Prayer. I want you to comment on prayer. Why would you say prayer is so important as a spiritual habit as well?
Prayer is a mandate from God. It's not a suggestion.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a request. It's command.
Mm-hmm.
God commanded that we pray. And in order for the disciples to say, Lord, teach us how to pray,
mm-hmm,
out of all the things they could have asked for,
mm-hmm,
there is a power, there is a connection, there is a strength there, you're communicating with God Almighty through, mm-hmm, his Son, Jesus the Christ. And so one of my favorite scriptures, and you read it, Pastor Parker, when we came in, it is so important until God came up with that idea himself. Prayer was not our idea.
Mm-hmm.
It was God's idea, and he commanded us to do so. He told us to pray about, be anxious for nothing,
mm-hmm,
but pray about everything.
That's right, everything.
Let all your supplications, all of your requests, all of your petitions be made known unto God. He told us things like pray for one another that you might be healed. Man ought always to pray and not to faint.
Mm-hmm.
So prayer must be important,
mm-hmm,
because it was thought of and commanded by God.
Mm-hmm.
And it was practiced by Christ. And it is to be done by us. And out of all the things the disciples asked Jesus to teach them, it was to pray. So when we look at the fact that it was thought of by God, commanded by God, practiced by Christ, asked to be taught by the disciples, then I would say from that, it's a very important tool. In fact, prayer and the Word are high on my list,
mm-hmm,
of things that we ought to do as Christians. For a Christian to say, there is nothing I can do, is not correct.
Mm-hmm.
There's always something we can do.
That's
we can
right.
always pray.
That's right. That's right. And, you know, I think of this too, Pastor Gilmore, that prayer is one of the ways whereby we stay on the offensive in life. You know, you think of in a football game, well, you know, you're on offense and defense. Well, mm-hmm, you always want to be on offense as much as you can because that's how you score. Well, in life, through our prayer lives, we can stay on offense. You know,
that's good.
And the reality is this too. Amongst other things, prayer releases the Holy Spirit. The devil is terrified of the Holy Spirit because he is no match for the Holy Spirit. So the more we pray, the more we release the powerful Holy Spirit who can defeat the devil in any situation. You know, the devil, again, God and the devil, there's no contest, you know, because the devil's a created being, very limited.
Yes.
But the reality is through prayer, we release the Holy Spirit to be everything he, you know, to accomplish what needs to be accomplished in a given situation. So.
Prayer will also cause us as believers to surrender our will to the will of God if we spend time in prayer communicating with God and being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and allowing God to speak back to us as we pray. A lot of times we use prayer or think of prayer as only a tool to request, to ask for something, to petition God for something. And a lot of times we think that God is just going to give us something because we prayed. But
mm-hmm,
a lot of times in prayer, we will find the Holy Spirit working on the inside of us, bringing us to a state of humility and surrender to the will of God. That's how powerful it is.
That is so true, so true. We've got a couple of questions from the chat room. And we're going to try to take them on the other side of the break, so I'll direct them to you when we come back. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. Our in-studio guest is Pastor Jesse Gilmore. We'll be right back.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
I'm traveling to all 50 states to hold prayer rallies. We're asking Christians to vote for candidates that stand for biblical principles and biblical moral values and engage in your community by living and sharing your faith.
The Decision America Tour with Franklin Graham.
And I'm going to be sharing the gospel.
You'll find rally dates and locations, plus information on how you can be involved at DecisionAmericaTour.com.
Now is the time to take a stand.
What's going on? It's your man, Sean Tanner, and you are in the field with the track stars, Ryan Righteous, Sean Tanner, and DJ Jeremiah. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and be sure to tune in to the Track Stars each and every Saturday from 4 p.m. to 6 p.m. Central Time. Log on to www.trackstarsradio.com or download our app available on iTunes and the Android market to get our podcast. Keep it locked to Urban Family Talk and Track Stars Radio. Let's go!
When a man gets angry with his wife, he's sometimes more likely to lash it out than talk it out. Dr. Tony Evans discusses a better way to deal with difficult emotions as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Anger unleashed wrongfully is hard to overcome, Proverbs 18 says in verses 14 and 19. It's hard to overcome. If you're going to keep anger from becoming sin, he says you must time it properly. Let not the sun go down on your anger. That is, agree together when and where we will resolve it. Don't let the sun go down without that issue being addressed. And one way to address it is to agree when you will address it. So that at least I know I can get a good night's sleep because it won't be skipped, it won't be ignored, it is on our family agenda. When you go to bed, without at least a plan to address your anger, what you have done is invited the devil into your subconscious. And while you are sleeping, he is working. But this thing of staying mad week in and week out, day in and day out, month in and month out, year after year after year, you realize that that has only come because you gave the devil an opening and he walked through it. You can't live in the same house with another person and not get angry. You can't have kids and not get angry. But don't let anger own you.
Learn how to be the loving, godly leader the Lord created you to be. Get a copy of Dr. Evans' best-selling book, Kingdom Man. It's available at tonyevans.org, along with study guides, leader's guides, and everything you need to promote God's view of manhood in your home or church. Again, that's tonyevans.org. Then join us next time as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
Of Myron Butler, along with Tasha Cobbs, the song Not My Own. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on Urban Family Talk. Grateful to have with us in studio today, Pastor Jesse Gilmore. Pastor Gilmore, I tell you what, I'm going to go ahead and share a number of the questions, and then give you the opportunity to pray and then respond to some of the questions. We better start with them because they're kind of racking up here, okay? but let me just share briefly what some of the questions. Some of the questions are, can a sinner pray? Another one is also, can you pray for the dead? Another question from an Africa TV listener specifically, is it important for married people to pray, and why is it important for married people to pray and single people to pray as well? And then one other person wanted to know if it's tough being a woman and minister. So we'll get them into that order. But if you, whatever's on your heart to pray for our listeners about, and then we'll come to the questions, okay?
Let us pray. Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, the resurrected Savior, your only begotten Son, we approach your throne of mercies and of grace, asking you on behalf of your people, those whom you have created in your own image, called into your own family, that you would grant us grace. Hear our prayer. O God, be kind unto us. You know our hearts and our minds. You know our need. For those married couples, for those single couples, O Father God, we ask that you would do what only you can. Unite, hold together, strengthen, comfort, keep, and fulfill. And, oh, Father God, for those that don't know you and the partner of their sin, have mercy upon their soul. And the families of those that have lost loved one, we pray for those families that they be comforted by the power of your Holy Spirit and your word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Father, I do thank you and praise you for every person listening. Lord, we lift up any married individuals that are listening in particular, as well as single persons. Lord, anoint each one afresh with the spirit of prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd move upon every person that's married more and more to really give a lot of time and energy to praying for themselves, for their spouses, and for their marriage, Lord. Help them to recognize, Lord, that you can set the marriage on fire, bless it, and empower it just by really, really flooding that marriage with prayer. But also, Lord, teach those persons, those single individuals that are longing to be married, that as they seek you, the word of God clearly says, seek first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added. As they faithfully seek you in your timing, you know how to bring that right person along their path. Lord, more and more empower us to be believers that fill our lives with prayer, that seek you knowing that you're the answer to every situation, every challenge, every need, every concern. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. All right, Pastor Gilmore, let's go ahead and deal with this, the question. Okay, why is prayer important for married persons and for single people as well?
I'm reminded of the scripture that says, unless the Lord build the house, he that labors buildeth in vain. And prayer, how I relate that to the couple that's concerned about them being married and praying together, unless the Lord seal, keep, strengthen, and protect that marriage, all other efforts are in vain. Mm-hmm. He gives divine wisdom, instructions. And so the enemy seeks especially to destroy the family. Mm-hmm. And so prayer will hinder, hedge, and block any doors or foothold for the enemy to come into as it relates to that couple. The single person may be longing for a husband, may not understand how complete they are in Christ. The scripture says, God supplies all of our needs. So if there's an emptiness, there's a loneliness, even if there's a longing for a spouse, it is God that will supply, that will bring the right one. So we seek his wisdom. We seek his guidance. We seek his instructions. We seek his protection, even in marriage and even as a single person. You can find that only in God through Jesus Christ by the power of the Holy Spirit. What that married couple need to keep that marriage secure, stable, confidence, they will find it only in God through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I believe that's one problem with our marriages. We're looking for it in other places and finding that it's not there. But you can find what that couple need to hold that marriage and family together only in God through Jesus Christ.
Amen. Amen. And, you know, I think of this, too, that every husband should pray for his wife every day. Every wife should pray for her husband every day. And also, every husband and wife should pray for wisdom to know how to love each other. Now, you know, I think of this, Pastor Gilmore. It's good for us to understand why if you ask the question, why is wisdom in any situation important? Well, wisdom helps you know how to deal with that matter or concern successfully. Well, you know, I think of in particular, there's a book Dr. Gary Chapman wrote called The Five Love Languages. And basically, it's about the different styles with which people function and whereby they are loved and where they perceive love. Well, basically, it's a book about wisdom about the way people are wired. And, you know, like just like, for example, if a person asks God for wisdom, he may give wisdom through a book that's out there.
Yes.
Or it may be wisdom from a counselor. But the fact is, for many couples, if they would just get a little bit of wisdom, it would change everything. Because God knows how he wires every individual. The Holy Spirit knows that. So if we seek God's wisdom, that'll help. So in every situation in life, if we seek wisdom, that can help us to be more effective no matter what it might be. So that's it.
Let me, if I may, encourage our listeners to learn to pray scripture, learn to pray the word.
Right.
By the time we grow up in Christ and become followers of Christ and mature to some level in Christ, we've asked every question, made every plea, said everything we could think of, and then and now we are learning to pray scripture. So I just want to share this with you from the book of Ephesians, the third chapter, the 14th, beginning with the 14th verse, and ask our listeners, isn't this what you want for that person that you love or that person that you're interceding on behalf of? Beginning with the 16th verse, I pray that he would grant you according to the riches of his glory, that you would be strengthened with might through his spirit in the inner man. I pray that Christ would dwell in your heart through faith and that you would be rooted and grounded in love. I pray that you would be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width and length and depth and height of the love of Christ. I pray that you would know the love of Christ, which passes all knowledge. And I pray that you would be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that what you want for that next that person?
Mm-hmm. So, it should be.
Yes, it should be what you want. So that's what, those are some examples of things you can pray as you pray for one another, as you pray for your spouse during the day. Because if that spouse is filled with the fullness of God and know the love of Christ, you're going to have a wonderful home, a
Amen.
Wonderful relationship.
Amen. Amen. And let me remind our listeners, too, we do have certain prayer tools we'd be glad to send to you. And, you know, sometimes here and there, people ask them to send us. We're glad to send them to any and everybody that wants them. Simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net, and we'd be glad to send the prayer tools. They include daily prayer tools, scriptures that come from the Word of God, prayer for your husband, prayer for your wife, and also we send a link to a prayer journal called Praying in Victory. And it's a wonderful prayer journal that helps you to pray according to the Word of God as well. So let's go ahead and try to address another one of the questions. And another one of the questions is, can a sinner pray? And I'll let you respond to that one first, Pastor Gilmore.
A sinner can cry out to God, Lord, have mercy upon my soul and forgive me of my sins. But there are blessings and promises in the Word of God that is for the believer. And so the believer can always intercede on behalf of the sinner as it relates to some of the prayer requests. But the sinners, first and foremost, can cry out, Lord, have mercy on my soul, as we all cry out, and forgive me of my sins. Now, we cannot box God into a place where we say that God will not hear anything else you say or respond to anything else that you ask for, because God is so kind, so patient, so merciful until he hears everything. We have to keep that in mind, that hears everything. So even if a sinner may be requesting some other things, we cannot be so dogmatic as to say the Lord did not hear you. But I do know that the Lord's number one goal for the sinner man is that that sinner will cry out to God. And I can promise you on the Word of God that when that sinner pray that prayer in sincerity and truth, that one God hears and will answer.
That's right. That's right. And that's you've answered that beautifully. And I think it's good for us to understand that God is primarily committed to his children.
Yes.
You know, once you get saved, you become a part of the family of God. And God, as a great parent, is going to take care of his children as, you know, as we seek him. But, you know, again, he's not obligated to hear the prayers of someone that's not seeking him. But he's looking to hear the prayers of those that need to be saved, like you said. So and if God chooses to answer the prayer of a sinner, that's God's prerogative. God can do what he wants to do.
He can do that.
So now for people that say, well, I don't believe God can do anything. Well, God can do anything he wants to do.
Yes.
Now, God doesn't want to sin. So, I mean, the reality is, but God wants to love people. He wants to show mercy on people. So, like to say, if a sinner prays, God in his sovereignty. Now, typically, he's going to, just like you said, it's going to lead them. His goal is to lead them to salvation.
Yes.
And when a sinner is calling on God, typically, Holy Spirit's working on him anyhow. So, but God can hear the prayers and answer the prayers of whoever he chooses to, but he's committed to his children. He's committed to children. Now, another question is, can you pray for the dead? Well, let me just answer this scripturally, and then Pastor Gilma, you can share your thoughts as well. Scripturally, I don't see in scripture where it says you can. Now, I've heard of people trying to do it. Now, of course, you can pray for what you want to, but now to say, well, will God hear that prayer? Scripturally speaking, I don't see anywhere in scripture where it ever tells you to pray for people who've died or that it will do any good, because once we die, we've left this world, okay? Now, to say, well, so is it such you can't pray for them? Well, again, you can pray for what you want to pray for, but sometimes God says no, sometimes he says yes, sometimes he says wait. So scripturally speaking, I don't see where the Bible ever tells you to pray for people who've died or that it really accomplishes anything either, though. So, but any thoughts on that, Pastor Gilmore?
I agree with you. I don't believe we have any biblical references as to where we are asked, encouraged, or taught to pray for the dead. So it's very important, it's urgent then, that we be praying now we are alive. And for those of our loved ones who are still alive, prayer is urgent. Let us intercede and pray on the behalf of others now while they are alive, and not wait until they are dead, because we don't have any biblical support that says we can do that, or that is effective, or that there are any response to that.
That's right. That's right. And just want to say a word of thanks to all of our listeners in the Cherubim and in the chat room, Pastor Carl, and also to Victory and Carter Smith and Danny E. Again, we thank you all for the questions. Excellent questions. And it's good for us to know that God's word, in either direct statement or in principle, it can answer any and every question you can come up with. So we appreciate you sending them. Pastor Gilmore, our time is just about completely gone. I appreciate you so much for taking the time today. Any final quick word you'd like to share with our listeners before we go today?
Let me respond to the final thing that was asked, I believe. Is it tough being a woman pastor, a woman minister, or a preacher of the gospel? And I will say with you what the Lord shared with me in the beginning. God did not call me to defend my gender. Mm-hmm. God called me to preach the gospel.
That's right.
So I do not defend the issue as to whether I'm a woman or so. When I stand, and I've taught that to other women ministers and women pastors, do not stand behind God's pulpit to defend yourself. That's not what he called you to do. He didn't call me to be accepted. So if you are rejected, that's okay.
Thank you so much, Pastor Gilmore, for being with us today. Thank you for being a part of our listening family. We appreciate you listening. As always, we ask you to please pray for the Lord to bless and prosper this ministry more and more. And join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of Urban Family Talk, Urban Family Communications, or American Family Association.
Urban Family Talk. Urban Family Talk.